Okay. Sporty greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Jonah Haskell in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Quicken Loans National Golf Tournament began Thursday in Gainesville, Virginia. The yearly invitational tournament is hosted by former world number one Tiger Woods, with the proceeds going to his charitable foundation. The current leaders in South Africa are South African Retief Goosen and Ryu Eshikawa of Japan, both at 8-under. But the leaderboard is tightly packed at the top. 28 players are within 4 strokes of the lead heading into Friday, while host Woods is 5 strokes back at 3-under. After his round on Thursday, Tiger spoke about how he played.
I've been playing well. That's the thing. I've been hitting the golf ball well. I feel like my putting's been good. Just stay patient. Just stay with it, and you know it'll turn if I stay patient, and I want to try, which I did, and man, I still run there.
Woods' score of 3-under is good enough to make the projected cut of 1-under, which he did not do at the British Open earlier this month. South African Ernie Els is also in the running, sitting 2 strokes back at 6-under, while last year's winner, Englishman Justin Rose, shot a 4-under 66 to open the tournament. Young American Ricky Fowler is also at 4-under, thanks to a hole-in-one that he made on his final hole of the round on Thursday. Co-leader Ryo Ishikawa also made a hole-in-one in the opening round, sinking his first shot on the par 3 fourth hole to take an early lead. Competitors will take to the course again on Friday for the second round, and rounds 3 and 4 will be played over the weekend. Moving on now, yesterday I went to Germantown, Maryland, just outside Washington, to watch the Washington Spirit women's soccer team in action. After their practice, I was able to speak with one of their young stars, Francisca Ordega, who played striker for the Nigerian women's national team at the World Cup in Canada this year. Francisca is in her first year as a member of the Spirit. I asked her how she thought her country did in Canada and what it was like for her to score for her country in the World Cup.
Yeah, I think I was so much impressed, like the way we played, and I individually, I was so much happy because this is the first time of me scoring at the World Cup, and it's not just on the 17 or on the 20, it's no World Cup. So I think I did a great job, and I'm so happy about it.
I also asked Francisca if she had talked to her teammates Allie Krieger and Ashlyn Harris about what it was like for them to win the World Cup, and if it gave her and the Nigerian team any motivation looking ahead to the Olympics next year.
The day I spoke to them, I think was they will play against U.S. and I promised Ashley that I'm going to score against U.S. if only she will be at the post, you know. So, but fortunately enough, we'll clash out at the group stage, and now we are hoping to qualify for the Olympics because we have a game on Sunday against Equatorial Guinea. So hopefully if we can qualify, I think we'll do much better at the Olympics, yeah.
Finally, I asked Francisca, who has also played pro soccer in Sweden and Nigeria, how the league here in the U.S. compares to her experience in other countries.
Yeah, everyone want to be a professional and everyone want to be playing outside his own country. So playing in Nigeria is a huge stack. When you're playing more at home, so you feel more relaxed than the rest. But playing in Sweden was pretty cool, though. But I think the league doesn't suit me the way I'm playing here. So I think playing here is much, I feel more relaxed, feel much happy with the team and the rest. So everything is just perfect for me. The league here, I think, is better.
Ordega and her Washington Spirit teammates are in third place in the National Women's Soccer League table and have sold out every game since the World Cup. Good luck over the rest of the season, Francisca.
This time for Africa.
I'm very, 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 very excited. Cause
this is Africa. Tamina mina, waka waka, Tamina mina sakalewa. This time for Africa.
The Sunny Side of Sports welcomes your comments. You can send me email at sonny@voanews.com. Sonny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237.
The VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman Mark Ouma joins us now with more sports news. And Mark's opening serve is African men's volleyball.
Defending champions and hosts Egypt beat Tunisia 26-24, 25-18 and 25-21 to retain the Africa men's volleyball championship title in Cairo on Thursday night. This is Egypt's eighth title and sixth consecutive triumph. Morocco beat Algeria 3-1 in the bronze medal playoff. Cameroon is fifth, followed by Rwanda, Botswana, Kenya, then Mauritius. Turning to athletics, Hicham Sigweni and Brahim Taleb clinched a 1-2 Moroccan triumph in men's 3,000-meter steeplechase at the IAAF Diamond League in Stockholm, Sweden on Thursday night. Kenyan Hilary Kipsang-Yego placed third. Djibouti's Ayanle Suleiman carried the day in 1,500 meters. South Africans Anaso Jobodwana and Sunet Fulyun were runners-up in men's 200 meters and women's javelin respectively, while Kotso Mokwena was third in long jump. In football, Sudan's El Khartoum play Kenya's Gor Mahia as Uganda's Kampala City Council Authority face Tanzania mainland's Azam in the semifinals at the Council of Eastern Central Africa Football Association's SEKAFA Kagame Club Championship in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania today, Friday. The finals and the bronze medal playoff is set for Sunday. Meanwhile, Zambia play Ivory Coast as South Africa engage Zimbabwe in Confederation of African Football Under-23 Championship qualifiers today, Friday. Tomorrow, Saturday, Uganda host Egypt. On Sunday, Republic of Congo play Nigeria. Mali face Gabon and Tunisia encounter Morocco. Elsewhere, Ghana play Cameroon. Kenya welcome South Africa. Zimbabwe face Ivory Coast and Equatorial Guinea play Nigeria in Africa Women's 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympic qualifiers on Sunday. In India, Ocean Island Games. Madagascar plays Seychelles in Reunion today, Friday, while Comoro Islands engage Mauritius on Sunday. Finally, in motorsports, the two-day Mount Gorilla Rally Championship starts in Nyamata, Rwanda today, Friday. It is the fifth leg in the Africa Rally Championship Series. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
The first ever NBA exhibition game in Africa will be held this Saturday in Johannesburg, South Africa. The game will pit Team Africa, a group of NBA players who are either African themselves or have African parents, against Team World. Miami Heat forward Luol Deng, who is from Sudan, will captain the African team, which also includes stars Serge Ibaka, Boris Dia, and Gorgui Jeng. Nigeria's Festus Ezeli, who won the NBA championship with the Golden State Warriors in June, will also be there. And the team will be coached by the San Antonio Spurs head coach, the great Greg Popovich. Team World is led by Los Angeles Clippers star Chris Paul and includes players from all over the world, including America's Kenneth Faried, Nikola Vucevic of Switzerland, and Mark and Pau Gasol, who are from Spain. African NBA legends Hakeem Olajuwon and Dikembe Mutombo will also have a role in the events surrounding the game. South African sports minister Fikile Mbalula believes that the game will have a positive effect on the popularity of basketball in Africa and will provide more options for young Africans.
We're giving young people a choice that basketball for them is not just playing, it's a lifestyle issue. And that is where they meet their friends. They actually mix up with the popular culture and over and above that, enjoy the game of basketball. And in this instance, we are able to really, really give young people options.
NBA Africa Vice President and Managing Director Amadou Gallo also feels that the game is a big step for the growth of basketball in Africa, as well as a testament to how much the game has already grown.
We could have a whole team made of Africans play against the rest of the world. I think, you know, speaks to the tremendous, you know, talent that the continent has. And I'm excited for the opportunity to continue to, you know, work towards really making the game accessible to the millions and millions of young boys and girls from across the continent.
Since 1984, Africa has produced 35 players who have played in the NBA, including superstars such as Hakeem Olajuwon and Dikembe Mutombo. Once again, the game will be played on Saturday, August 1st, in Johannesburg, South Africa. And now I'd like to take a minute to thank my Voice of America engineer this evening, Nick. Kick it, Nick!
Kick it!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
I'm Shegun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on!
This is for the world.
The draw for the qualifying stages of the 2018 World Cup in Russia took place last weekend. Nightline Africa sportsman Segun Adeyemi tells us more.
Good evening, Africa. The top 13-ranked African football nations got a boost on Saturday when the draw for the 2018 World Cup qualifiers was made in Russia. Each of the countries gets a first-round bye before facing one of the weaker national teams on the continent in the second round in November.
Victories in the home and away ties will secure places in the 20-nation third round, from which the five group winners qualify for the World Cup to be hosted by Russia. Algeria is Africa's top-ranked team. The other 12 in that order are Ivory Coast, Ghana, Tunisia, Senegal, Cameroon, Congo, Cape Verde, Egypt, Nigeria, Guinea, Democratic Republic of Congo, and Mali. In the first round of the African qualifiers in October 2015, the 26th lowest-ranked African sides in the FIFA rankings play each other in two legs. Meanwhile, South Africa was handed a tough task when the draw was made. Bafana Bafana, which has played in the Global Football Showcase three times, was paired with fellow Southern African team Angola. It is the only one of 20 second-round ties featuring two former qualifiers, as Angola participated in the 2006 tournament. Here now are some of the other highlights of the African draw. Cameroon will start campaigning for a record-extending eighth appearance by an African team with an away game against Somalia or Niger. Nigeria, the second most frequent African qualifier, looks set to tackle Swaziland, African Cup of Nations title holder Ivory Coast, and Ghana. The team it defeated on penalties in the final last February are chasing fourth consecutive World Cup appearances. The Ivorians begin with a visit to Liberia or Guinea-Bissau, while Ghana travels to the Comoros Islands or Lesotho. Highest-ranked African team Algeria, which took eventual 2014 World Champion Germany to extra time in a last 16 clash in Brazil, plays Tanzania or Malawi. Egypt, winner of the Cup of Nations a record seven times, but repeated World Cup qualifying flop, was drawn against Chad or Sierra Leone. Debutant South Sudan faces Mauritania, and Mauritius plays Kenya in the first round. Zimbabwe is the only one of the 54 Confederation of African Football members who did not take part in the draw. Staying with the 2018 World Cup, despite FIFA scandals, beleaguered President Sepp Blatter says the organization remains committed to 2018 World Cup host nation, Russia. During a meeting Saturday with Russian President Vladimir Putin, ahead of the qualifying draw, the FIFA president told Putin that, quote, "We say yes to Russia. We are providing our support," unquote. Turning to African club football news, match day three games were played in Group A of the African Confederation Cup on Saturday. At the end, Egyptian giant Al Ahly goes top of the group on 7 points, followed by Etoile du Sahel of Tunisia on 6. Stade Malien of Mali is third on 4 points, while Esperance of Tunisia is at the bottom, without a point after three matches. In the African Champions League, title holder AS Setif of Algeria was held to a 1-1 draw by Almeric of Sudan in their Group B match day 3 clash on Saturday in Setif. That means the defending champions have gone 540 minutes without a home win at the group phase of the competition. Another Algerian team, USM Alger, was more fortunate, beating MC Yulma also of Algeria 2-1. After three matches, USM leads Group B on the maximum 9 points. Almeric and AS Setif are next on 4 points each way, even though the Sudanese club has a superior goal differential. MC Yulma, in the meantime, is at the bottom without a point. In the only Group A day 3 match played on Saturday in the Champions League, TP Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo traveled to Egypt to beat home team Smuha 2-0. TP Mazembe tops the group on 5 points, while Smuha is third on 3, one behind Al Hilal of Sudan. Finally, this weekend, Algeria has become the first team to qualify for the 2015 African Under-23 Championship to be hosted by Senegal. A barren draw against Sierra Leone in the third round return leg match on Saturday in Blida, Algeria, got the North Africans the enviable tag of the first side to confirm their place for the African qualifiers for the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. The remaining 6 places in the African Under-23 Championship finals will be decided next weekend.
Thank you, Shagun. Staying in the world of African football, VOA's Sonny Young recently spoke with African football guru David Legg about the international matches that have taken place recently.
13 matches, and these are between the lower-ranked countries in Africa. The first one, Somalia against Niger. I always salute Somalia because it's a war-torn country, and yet they do find the courage to compete in this competition. The sad side of it, Sonny, is that they will not be able to play at home in Mogadishu. In the last competition, we saw Somali side in. It was the Olympic Games. They played a home match in Djibouti, neighboring Djibouti, and that could well be the case again. Niger, I fancy, will win this tie, partly because of that fact that Somalia will not be able to utilize home advantage. The next match between South Sudan and Mauritania is interesting because it will mark the debut of South Sudan. I think Mauritania are improving, and I fancy them to win this tie. An interesting one between Gambia and Namibia. Gambia recently came to South Africa, to Durban, and it's forced a 0-0 draw with Bafana Bafana. And on the basis of that, I give them a slight edge over the Namibians. The next one is Sao Tome and Principe against Ethiopia. My tip there, Ethiopia. Chad against Sierra Leone, two reasonably talented countries from West Africa. Slight preference for Chad. And here again, Sonny, unfortunately, an issue of home advantage. Because of the Ebola epidemic, Sierra Leone will have to find a neutral venue for their home leg. Comores against Lesotho is a Southern African derby. Lesotho are my fancy. Djibouti against Swaziland. Well, Djibouti are the weakest country in terms of rankings in Africa. Swaziland recently had a good win over Guinea in the Africa Cup of Nations, and therefore I give the Swazis the vote. Eritrea against Botswana is interesting in the sense that Eritrea very seldom play international football. The problem there, Sonny, is every time the Eritreans go abroad, most of their team abscond and seek political asylum, and that is because of the oppressive regime in Asmara. So there'll be sort of sporting and news interest in that tie, in which Botswana should emerge victorious. Seychelles against Burundi. My tip is Burundi. Liberia against Guinea-Bissau. Now, we spoke about the fact that Sierra Leone and Somalia will not be able to play at home in their ties. The good news for the Liberians is, despite the fact that they've only recently come out of their Ebola epidemic crisis, they will be able to play in Monrovia, and that could well prove decisive in favor of the Liberians. Central African Republic against Madagascar. The Central African Republic, they haven't been doing particularly well of late. Madagascar impressed in the CASAFA Cup. I fancy the Malagasy side to go through to the second round. We've got a lot of listeners up there in Kenya, where President Barack Obama has very recently been on a visit.
Hello, everybody.
The good news for Kenyans is this is a tie they should win. The last tie, Sonny, in the first round is between Tanzania and Malawi, an interesting one, an intriguing one, with perhaps the Malawian Flames having a slight advantage over the Tanzanian Taifa Stars. And both legs, Sonny, will be played this October in this first round of the World Cup.
Let's turn to the second round, David, where some of the big boys of Africa come into play. How does that look?
Yes, Sonny, you mentioned the big boys, and the very first tie is Somalia or Niger versus Cameroon. Now, Cameroon are the record seven-time qualifiers from Africa for the World Cup. No African country has done as well as the indomitable Lions of Cameroon. And you would certainly have to fancy them to win this tie. Another big gun, Sonny, are Tunisia, and they will start against South Sudan and Mauritania. And really, my prediction, it's ditto. It's the big boys to succeed, in this case, Tunisia. Gambia or Namibia against Guinea, Sao Tome or Ethiopia against Congo, Brazzaville, Chad or Sierra Leone against Egypt. Now, Egypt are an interesting case. They do extremely well in the Africa Cup of Nations. They've won that competition a record seven times. But when it comes to the World Cup, the Pharaohs consistently struggle. They've only played in the World Cup twice. The first time was way back in 1934, when they didn't actually qualify. They were just invited. In those days, Sonny, you had no active, organized football going on in Africa. So Egypt really looking to try and amend this poor record of theirs. The other time that they did qualify was 1990, and they did actually quite okay. But since then, repeatedly winning the Africa Cup of Nations, but repeatedly flopping at the World Cup. So Egypt are going to be rather wary when they start off against Chad or Sierra Leone. The Comores or Lesotho will play Ghana. Ghana will be going for a fourth consecutive World Cup appearance. They were there in Germany in 2006, in South Africa in 2010, and then Brazil in 2014. And it would be a sensation if the Black Stars failed to qualify for the third round. Good evening to all our Nigerian listeners. And their first match is against Djibouti or Swaziland. And as I said with the previous tie, Sonny, it really would be a turn up for the books if the Nigerians did not get through that tie. They're going to be too strong, and I fancy the team they will play is going to be Swaziland. Eritrea or Botswana will play Mali. Seychelles or Burundi will play the Democratic Republic of Congo. Liberia or Guinea-Bissau up against the African champions, Ivory Coast. A West African derby, no matter who emerges victorious from the first round tie, but the Ivorians surely will prove too strong in the second round tie. Central African Republic or Madagascar against Senegal. Senegal, quarter-finalists in the World Cup in 2002, but they have not been back since, so they've got a lot to play for and a lot to prove. Mauritius or Kenya will play the Cape Verde Islands. Tanzania or Malawi will play Algeria. And then, Sonny, you have some ties that are already decided in the sense it's one against one. They are Sudan against Zambia, Libya against Rwanda, Morocco against Equatorial Guinea, Mozambique against Gabon, Benin against Burkina Faso, Togo against Uganda. Now, Sonny, your colleague Douglas, the stories we're hearing here in Africa, is that he has not been well since the World Cup draw was made. I mention to Douglas that in the recent Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers, the Togolese beat Uganda in Lome and in Kampala. So, Douglas, the best of luck to you and to the Ugandan Cranes. And the last tie, Sonny, is the one that really stands out for me in the second round. It's the only tie between two countries that have qualified for the World Cup. It's the Palancas Negras, the Sable Antelopes of Angola, up against Bafana Bafana of South Africa.
Arise and shine, Bafana Bafana, arise and shine. Let your victory be enshrined in the great annals of soccer. Tackle them and leave them dizzy. Tackle them and leave them mesmerized. Shine, Bafana Bafana, shine. Hola, Bafana Bafana. Hola, Bafana Bafana. Bafana Bafana. Bafana Bafana.
Now, South Africa have got a good record against Angola down the years. 5 victories and 3 draws, no losses. But this is a tough one, Sonny. And we have to bear in mind that if South Africa slip up in this tie, they will be out of the running for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. So there's an awful lot to play for. It's a Southern African derby. And certainly that's one we're going to keep a keen eye on in the coming weeks on the Sunny Side of Sport. Both legs, Sonny, will be played in November. And the 22nd round winners, they will go into a separate draw. Those 20 countries will be split into 5 groups of 4. And those 5 group winners, they will go to Russia to represent Africa in 2018 at the World Cup.
David, in terms of those 5 groups of 4, will the top seeded teams be based on the FIFA rankings?
I expect so, Sonny, but obviously it won't be the rankings of July, which decided the first and second round. You'll have fresh rankings, so there's an awful lot to play for the countries, because you take South Africa at the moment, they're only going to be a 4th seed, because they are ranked 16th in Africa. So if you and I, Sonny, were to make that draw tomorrow, South Africa would be one of the bottom seeds, and that's not what they want to be, because that means they could, for example, get Ivory Coast, they could get Egypt or Nigeria. It would be an extremely tough group. But yes, I expect the seedings, and I think the seedings is a fair way to go about it. That's what they've used for the first and second rounds. VOA!
David, if our VOA listeners have a football-related question for you, can you give us your email address?
Yes, certainly, Sonny. It's david.leg, and leg is spelled L-E-G-G-E, at AFP, that's Agence France-Presse.com. So I'll just repeat that one more time. It's david.leg, L-E-G-G-E, at AFP.com. And we'd love to hear from you.
Voice of America.
Thanks, David, and feel free to send him an email at that address. That does it for the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm VOA.